Welcome back, Omates, to another episode of the Hard Knock Sorority Podcast. For those of you who have been following us for a while, I apologize for the delay in getting this episode out of the matrix. The last half of 2024 brought some of the less pleasant experiences that we all have to go through to my life, and for a while I was absorbed by them and lacked the mental and emotional bandwidth to work on the show. Back to the intro. This is a 4th edition Shadowrun actual play, GM'd by myself, Paul, and driven forward rather non-committably by Veronica as Cecile, aka College Girl, Kat as Deandra, Val as Ollie, aka Boxer, and Beth as Grace, aka Nightingale. This is episode 7 of season 2. The team has been given a job through the mysterious fixer known as Prokop Skillful to once again infiltrate Warehouse Alliance to secure evidence, the more damning the better, of the corpse's illegal activities. To aid them, they have been provided passcodes to the facility and a work order for a security audit. Another run against Warehouse Alliance Puyallup commences. Deandra carries Grace, some disturbing discoveries are made, and a whole lot of pay data is accumulated. Now, whatever will the team do with it? Thank you for joining us, and I hope you enjoy the show. Reach out to us on our Discord if you have any comments or want to point out my errors in rules keeping. You can find our Discord in the show notes. Thank you again. Was Cecile going to do anything else, or is she just hanging out?
Let's say she does some more data searches on this. I could say this. They won't know anything about this. This Kaylee Lorraine.
I think somebody might know something about it.
I may have miscalculated.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Kaylee Lorraine is apparently an orc street doc or doctor operating in Auburn, operating a street clinic in Auburn.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Good to know.
Her clinic is actually not that far from where you're at now, located.
I guess Cecile's going to go pay her a visit.
It is closed at the moment.
She'll wait until it's open.
Okay.
For a second, I imagine standing inside of it until it opens. But that's not something she would do.
Not this time. Although it would be very funny if she's like, what, you aren't open 24/7? God.
The clinic has a sort of a fairly mediocre matrix site, and the hours, you know, show that it will open around 8 a.m. So you have about 2 hours. I'm saying that this is one of the first things that came up. You had a search running while you were sleeping, and when you woke up, that was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's just going to prepare for those 2 hours, get herself all fancied up.
Okay, so the team making the run on the Puyallup warehouse location, how are you spending your morning?
I think Deandre is just going to be like asleep for an hour before the run, because she hasn't slept in a while.
Okay, so you slept for an hour. I imagine Boxer, and did you go home, actually? I should ask.
Unless Boxer kicked Deandera out, I think she
can have the couch.
Or the couch. Deandera has that sleep anywhere ability that some, so she just like sat down and like blanked out, basically.
All right. So the morning of, you guys have all woken up, and those of you who like it, get your soy calf. Are you going straight to Puyo Loop? Are you making any other preparations?
Straight there.
All right. Who's taking what, and how are you traveling? Just sort of, I mean, get yourself sort of an idea of what gear you have on hand. You know you're wearing the uniforms, right?
Yep. We have some, like, gear that looks like it would wear, I guess.
Boxer's taking the Alpha because, yeah, and her handgun, of course. And she's also taking a backpack with, let's see, her breaking and entry gear, the med kit, some climbing gear, and...
Deandre is wearing her breaking and entering suit under her her uniform in like a discreet as possible way, and I guess.
The two jammers and a grenade.
1,500 MREs.
200,000 MREs ready to eat right now. Eat them. But no. And I'm not risking a grenade. And she always has the respirator. So yeah.
Body armor?
Didn't they already have body armor with it? She's probably just gonna wear that then. If not, she's just gonna wear a vest.
Yep, so it didn't come with body armor, so you would have had to buy that separately.
Well, she has a vest.
Otherwise, you're just wearing your own body armor.
Yeah, she has a vest. She'll wear that.
I'm bringing my screen capture system and my scan glove. The screen capture system is like spray that you put on the screens, and it captures whatever is shown on it. And it's hard to detect. The scan gloves pick up like surface variations and stuff.
Okay. So how are you traveling to Puyo Loop?
I think we should, Deandre is going to travel to close location in her bike, and then you guys should a grid guide, and we should all have the same grid guide. So we have an escape vehicle, but we're not going to be entirely noticeable that we drove up in the same van that was parked outside the parking lot a few days ago.
Yeah, that'd probably be wise.
All right, so you guys head to Puyo Loop. You stash your bike. Did you say bike or van?
The bike.
You stash your bike.
Fox is probably going to stash hers as well with Tandra's.
We can put the dog in the sidecar.
All right, so you stash your bikes and grab a grid guide for the last 5 minutes or so to the location. It's early morning. There's quite a bit of traffic, rush hour traffic. As you pull up to the security gate, so I guess the next question is, there were two entrances. There were two main entrances. The whole facility has a fence around it. There were two main entrances. There was the back one, which led to that sort of high security warehouse area that had a guard tower. And then there was the front one that led to both the entrance to the main warehouse, the entrance to the administrative building, and the entrance to the prison facility. Which one are you guys going to enter?
We should enter the maintenance building, right?
So if you wanted to get to the maintenance building, you're going to have to go through the front entrance. There's a gate in the fence with a guard shack, so you're probably going to have to pull up there, show credentials, and get let in.
The maintenance building. I know that in their warehouse is where they have the paracritter stuff that they're not supposed to have.
Yeah, that was in the high security area.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So you guys pull up in the grid guide and get out. And it's a big chain link fence with barbed wire across the top of it. You see the buildings that you've already seen both pictures of and, you know, reconnoitered with a couple of drive-bys. And as you get out in the uniform, you see the guard in the guard tower looking at you, and he's talking into some kind of communications device. And then the gate opens up in front of you, and you can now enter into the parking lot area. And as you're entering the guard shack at the gate, the door opens, and one of the guards comes out, a human woman, And she's got a clipboard, well, a digital clipboard tablet thing. And she looks at you up over and she says, "Oh, you guys are from the security audit that we're supposed to be getting, huh?"
"Yes, we've come from Auburn Security. This is just a preliminary check. We'll have some further tests later in the week."
"All right, let me log your credentials, please. Do you have a license for the dog, by the way?" "Not that I really care," she sort of shrugs, "but we don't want to get sued." So she takes your credentials, scans them, nods, hands them back to you, and reaches in and into the guard shack and hands Dinder and Boxer a visitor's badge that doesn't say visitor. It says visitor security clearance alpha or something like that. And she says, "Yep, those will get you in. And I guess we're supposed to give you anything you need, access to anything." She looks at the tablet again. She says, "Well, yeah, the security systems, I guess. Do you want an escort?"
"I think we'll be fine without an escort. We need to, I guess, dig into some places that you're probably not going to be happy about showing us."
She shrugs. "Hey, I'm just not my..." She sort of catches herself and then she flicks over an ARO to you, and it's a comm number. And she says, "That's our comm number here at security. So if you have any questions or if you have any trouble, let us know. The one thing that we can't really let you do is walk around the areas that are accessed by the inmates without an escort due to security and safety concerns."
"Well, we'll come through the..." She motions to the doors she assumes go to, or she knows goes to the cell blocks or whatever. "Yeah. I imagine you have some security past that door?"
"Yeah, you won't get right in there. So if you go through that door, there's a security checkpoint. You can check in there, and one of the guys inside will escort you through the places that have access to the inmates or are accessed by the inmates."
"That sounds like a good plan, but we're going to do a walk through your maintenance building here first, and maybe your warehouse."
"All right, so maintenance is, maintenance is actually upstairs." She motions at the prison block. "Maintenance is upstairs there, so to get up there, you're going to need an escort." And then she points over at the loading dock, where you see a couple of trucks. She says, "That's the main warehouse right there," and then she points at the building to the left of it and says, that's administrative over there if you wanted to interview any of the administrative staff."
"We'll probably go through and interview some of them. We got to do a check through on some of their systems as well. We'll try to be non-intrusive. This is just preliminary.
She points around. She said, "Everything, we've got cameras covering pretty much every inch of this place. So, you know, if you need help, you can either call on the comm link or just wave at the camera."
"Yeah, well, we'll let you know."
"All right. Have fun. I would say don't get into any trouble, but I guess that's your job, huh?"
"You could say that."
She says, "Hey, so got a question. You know, pay pretty good there at Auburn Sec."
"It's nothing to, I guess, scream about."
"Nothing to sniff at either."
"Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you better get your warehouse alliance."
"Sort of getting tired of hanging out in guard shacks. Thinking about changing over, but I guess it's probably the stuff you guys are doing is a little bit more interesting. Do you guys need to do any security clearance stuff, or?"
"We mostly do tech security. Our job is, remember that, what was it, the seminar, the 4-week seminar we had to start with? That was boring as hell."
Deander, give us a con roll.
"This is something I'm supposed to be good at. 6.
Oh, yeah. You're laying it on thick and convincingly. And woman nodding like, "Huh. Yeah, well, I'll have to check into that. Maybe I need to get some more credentials before I make that move or try to make that move." "Anyways, appreciate you taking the time to sort of lay it out for me. I'll definitely follow up on that."
"Yeah, well, we'll probably be done before you know it, so."
"All right, have fun." "Oh, one other thing. Never mind. Grace, as you've been standing there, you're in the guise of the dog, the German Shepherd.
Yes, she's posing as a German Shepherd with a harness that says secured
and goggles. All right, so the woman gives another glance at Grace and then goes back into the guard shack. Which way are you guys headed?
To the administration building.
All right. The administration building is a two-story cubic building. There are a couple of vehicles, look like private vehicles, parked out in front of it. And there's a camera over the door. And there's a sign over it that says Warehouse Alliance Purulip. And it says authorized personnel only. And then there's a key card reader a button as if to buzz for assistance, and a little speaker next to it.
I think Dee and Dare would just try to scan in with her security badge or visitor badge.
Okay. You scan with the visitor's badge, and the door opens. And as you enter, there's a rather drab, small corporate foyer, and there's a woman sitting behind a desk who looks up as you enter, and she looks surprised, and then she says, good morning, who are you?
I'm Cian Cave, and this is my partner. We're here from Auburn Security to do our preliminary check for our security audit.
Oh, I see. You have your badges?
Yep.
Oh, silly. Of course you have your badges. You just buzzed yourself in. She's looking at something in AR, and she says, oh yeah, okay, I got it right here. Here's your work order. Is there something that I can help you with?
Most of our stuff is going to be pretty boring, so you should stay here and do your job.
All right, well, this early in the morning, none of the senior staff are here yet. It's mostly just some of the accountants and some of the schedulers upstairs.
Yeah, we just like to get an early start over at Auburn Securities.
All right, well, according to this work order, you've got access to the building, so go ahead.
Yep, and then I believe Deandre would just show herself on the way out, like taking notes on her comlink or whatever, or pretending to take notes on her comlink at least.
So you have the option of a door that says employees only, and a door that says employees only, a stairwell, or an elevator.
Deandre would check the door that says employees only first, because she's supposed to. The guys is supposed to be like, oh, we're doing a walkthrough of the building as a preliminary check.
There's another key card reader there, but as you go to try the door, you find that it actually opens without swiping a key card.
Is this door supposed to have a mag lock on it?
The woman looks up, says, we usually just turn it off during business hours so that, you know, as the employees are coming in and out, there's a mag lock on the front door, so... You know, if they've gotten through the front door, you know, they've she looks sort of awkwardly around, like, yeah, we assume that they've already got their pass key.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of trouble having to buzz people in and out all the time.
The Indair does the mm-hmm and like breaks eye contact and starts typing furiously.
You can see the woman looking apprehensively and trying to ignore you. All right. So through the door, there's a hallway. And a bunch of doors and other hallways branching off from it.
I think she'd like motion to Boxer and be like, you sweep right, I'll sweep left.
Who's Grace going with? Grace, by the way, has spotted a watcher spirit sort of tagging along behind you guys.
She's going to whisper watching, watching, watching to it.
And you can see that it... Actually, you know what? Let me roll.
How dumb is it today? We love them.
It's not all that dumb. You'd almost get the impression, actually, you get the impression that it might not necessarily recognize you, but recognize you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of bouncing around a little bit more. The frequency of its bounces behind you are a little bit amplified, and it's grinning.
Hilarious.
All right, so as you go down, the first thing that... who went right again?
I Boxer did.
And Grace, you're following the first corridor that branches off on the right. Are you going into the rooms or are you going down the corridors? Boxer and Dinder.
Oh, yeah, we're just sweeping rooms, right? We're just going in and
looking
in the room.
Yep, okay.
We're trying to find the server bank or whatever, the main servers.
All right.
But we're trying to also make it look like we're just doing a check through of the building.
Yep, the first room that Boxer finds is apparently an employee break room with some tables and chairs, Tridio, and some soy calf machines and some soy paste prep areas and stuff like that. And you see there's a guy in there, a human male, and he appears to be asleep on a sofa. He's wearing he looks to be security, actually. So that's the first room that Boxer finds. The first room that Dinder enters is actually a maintenance closet, janitorial closet. And then there is after that, there is a hallway that is headed right, at the end of which is a door, a security door. And that's would be Boxer. And then for Dinder, there's another door that conveniently does say servers.
Well, Boxer's going to do something cheeky. She's going to go and move on to the next room, which was nothing? Or was she the one with the server room?
You've got the hallway that goes down to another door, another security door at the end of it. Dinder has the server room.
Once Boxer's done looking at the lounge and scoffing at the sleeping guard, she's going to quietly shut the door because she doesn't want to wake him up. And she's going to look back at Dinder and her maintenance closet.
When Dinder gets to the server room, she's going to motion to Boxer to come over towards it.
Yes.
Is there anyone in the server room, first of all?
No.
Okay. So we're going to go into the server room.
Yep. The server room is, there's nobody in the server room. You immediately notice the cameras. There are cameras everywhere. So in the hallways, in the server room. And the server room is pretty boring from the way it appears. It's really just banks upon banks of what look to be sort of almost just like metal cabinets with a lot of lights on them. And there are a couple of wireless, look like probably like Wi-Fi routers with sort of short stubby antennas sticking up off them. And that's really all there is in the server room.
Boxer.
We're assuming that we even have servers in the Sixth World at this point.
Do you have
computer
experience?
I know how to look things up. I know how to look for things, but if you're going to ask me to hack into it, I can't.
I mean,
do we have access? Because if we have access, I can look around.
We can get access to it.
It was the guy who was sleeping, right?
The security guard.
Do they have one of those key card scanners to log in, like how the VOD does? Or do you have to input a password?
There are, you see a couple of screens with key card scanners and even a keyboard.
Mm.
You said there was a sleeping security guard?
Yeah, slacking on the job, but might help us out now.
I'll be right back. Don't make too much noise.
I won't. I'll make sure nobody interferes in here.
Dinder is going to try to steal his key card.
All right. There are cameras everywhere.
Yep.
But you're assuming that because you're authorized to be here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you go in and make a stealth check.
What stealth? Infiltration? Shadowing?
Infiltration.
Okay. It would be palming to actually take it.
Yeah. So you're going to do infiltration to get into the room, and then you're going to do a palming test to lift it off of him.
One on infiltration.
Yeah, good enough.
I mean, the man's literally asleep.
And then she's going to palm it off of him.
Fox already walked in there once and he didn't wake up.
Palm his security badge off of him.
Mm-hmm.
My God, imagine sleeping on the job, SMH. Wish I had that opportunity.
It occurs to Dinder that the security, that the lady that you're talking to outside must be watching this and must be a bad person for not having called the security guard and woken him up. You are able to lift the key card from the sleeping security guard with relative ease. He barely even shifts in his sleep.
Deandre is going to just stand there for a second and then walk back out very quietly. She's going to go back into the room and or the room where Boxer is and hand her the key card and go get into the server quickly and dig around for some data when you have access.
Mm. And it's
there. Also, you notice. I mean, there are definitely ports for data jacks. You could always just jack directly in. Otherwise, you're going to be basically reading this off of a 2D screen, pretty old fashioned.
Oh, Deandre lays screen capture spray down on.
All right, sure.
What does the screen capture spray do again?
It just picks up whatever's on the screen and sends it to my comm link, I guess.
And it's a spray on?
Yeah. This spray coats an optical display with a sensor array designed to capture images projected through the device. For contacts and glasses, it also records both reality and augmented reality. Successful perception 5 test to detect the coding.
All right. That's pretty wild.
The nanites construct a secure RFID to send the recorded image. It can record up to 72 hours of activity before looping. The rating determines the number of days the coding lasts. And I think my coding is one day.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one. What?
I said that's kind of metal.
That is pretty fucking cool.
I don't know if that makes any goddamn sense, like, technologically. But
it's nanites. It doesn't have to make sense. Once Boxer is in, I'm going to go take the card and scream at the security officer.
All right, Boxer, you swipe the card and the screen lights up and it does appear that you have access to the Warehouse Alliance Puyallup's databases.
Mm, perfect. Is it a data search?
Yeah. What are you looking for?
Anything tagged with... Anything tagged with, what are they called, paracoders? Paracoders.
You also want to look for things that are suspicious and or, like, don't really make sense to be shipped in the quantities they are.
Yeah, and shipping manifests.
Okay, so as you start looking through it, you find the area where the shipping manifests are stored, and you see, you know, which companies are passing through. Because basically, Warehouse Alliance takes containers that other shipping companies are moving, stores them until somebody else comes and picks them up. Mm-hmm. And what you don't, even though you have the manifests, they're not really manifests in that they don't tell you the contents of the containers because the contents of the containers isn't owned by Warehouse Alliance. What you do find is the various contracts that Warehouse Alliance has and when deliveries and pickups are made and how much they're paid. And do you have, what knowledge skills of Seattle do you have?
Nothing specific to Seattle. She knows gangs, security companies, and I don't think there's anything else relevant.
Okay. Roll your gang's knowledge. Actually, roll your gang's knowledge with your security company's knowledge.
Okay, I'll both then.
Okay, so you get 4 hits. Several of the companies that are shipping through Warehouse Alliance are known to you as being, well, the one in specifically stands out to you. There's a company called Ogura Freight, which you've heard rumors are is a Yakuza-owned company.
Mm. She's definitely downloading the ones that have to do with them to her comm link.
There are several containers currently in the warehouse that are owned by Ogura Freight, and you take the shipping container numbers, so even though the manifests don't tell you what's in them, you do get the numbers of the containers and when they're expected to be picked up, and you can also see the schedule for more deliveries coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that you find as you're sort of searching around is that, it's more what you don't find. You don't find any record. You find, for example, you find the list of of contracts that Warehouse Alliance has with Knight Errant to hold people that have been arrested. They're all Riggers, but you don't find any record of Rigor Mortis's real name on them, nor do you find any record of a security breach or somebody having been extracted from Warehouse Alliance. So apparently it looks to you, not that you're doing any hacking to actually look at the files, but as you're sort of searching through and getting a picture of this, there's like a lie by omission in that there is no record of the breach or the rescue of an inmate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you get sort of in the little time that you feel like you have there.
Right. And let's see. What else was it? Video. She wants a video of the offices.
Okay. I don't think that you're going to be able to.
She's just going to yank everything.
Okay. So you're going to make a copy or you're going to
copy,
take
yes.
the actual files and erase? Okay. So you're going to copy the files. All right. Done.
Anything showing a computer screen.
What do you mean, anything showing a computer screen?
She wants to see, she wants to catch screens, see if she can find some data on that. Basically, she's going to take it, look at it later.
You're not, the servers that you're accessing right now don't seem to have access to the camera feeds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not seeing any of the security camera feeds, and you're also not seeing any screens that might be open by people working. You're simply seeing the data that's being entered. You could ask Diendra.
Diendra, you've worked with these kind of companies before, yeah?
Somewhat.
Then you can tell me what they would have that would be worth looking at.
I'm going to use my knowledge security companies to do that. One.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't really, you can't really think of anything off the top of your head that might be, you know, searchable. It's not like you can just enter a search like, hey, illegal goods or anything like that. So unless you have a really specific avenue of search to give me.
Paracritters.
Okay, so you search paracritters and you find some interesting entries and record of decisions about, you know, at some point the security teams for Warehouse Alliance here considered having the grounds patrolled by hellhounds, but ultimately discarded that as unnecessary and potentially dangerous.
Get a copy, if they have a copy in their system, of like the company charter or some of their other founding information. Maybe there's some dirt we can dig up on the owners or the founders.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you find the charter. You find an actual list of the shareholders for Warehouse Alliance. And as you're looking at the list, a couple of names actually stand out to you. You recognize one of them. One of them is Jim Ansel, who you remember is the alias for George Van Housen.
Mm.
And in this list, he's listed as deceased, which, yes, you know. So there's a list of owners, a list of seven owners. Jim Ansel is deceased. There are two whose location is currently listed as unknown. And to what extent did Cecile tell you guys about what had happened at the university the day that you guys rescued her?
I don't think Cecile has told us anything.
All right. So you recognize, that's the name that you recognize, is Jim Ansel. And you also find, you find next to each of these names, there's a list that sort of lines up with them that has the owner's name and then next to it a set of initials that don't match their name.
Mm.
What's the set of initials next to, what is it, Ansel's name?
GVH.
GVH.
Mm.
And let me just give you the rest of the names that are on the list. So the majority shareholder is someone called Kirill Petrov. And interestingly enough, next to his name, there are no initials. And then you've got Jim Ansell, and you've got a person called Pavel Gorev. And the initials next to his name are A.G. And then you've got a Charles Lee, and J.P. The initials next to his are J.P. You've got a Piper Neves and L.F. for her, and Eli Kimball. The last two names, Eli Kimball and Kang Tian, they are the ones that are listed as unknown occupation and residence currently. And of course, Jim Ansell, GVH, is listed as deceased. The majority stakeholder is the Kirill Petrov person who does not have a set of letters behind his name.
Well, we can investigate that later. Get the rest of the data you think is good enough.
All right, so you pull a bunch of data.
Is there an index for what else is in the system? Sorry. Or are we just assuming Boxer's going to nab literally everything?
Yeah, it's mostly, I mean, you've got, most of it is contracts and scheduling and, you know, there's a lot of HR stuff. There's a lot of, you know, sort of shift rotations. There's the contract with Knight Errant. There, you know, the lists of inmates, visiting hours. There's standard operating procedures. There's, you know, just all of the sort of paperwork and data that is required for running a company.
Mm-hmm. All right. She's taking the stakeholder data and that's it. Aside from, yeah, you know, all the other stuff.
Well, you got that, and I think you took the stuff on
anything, you know, that showed up on the screen. We have a copy.
Yeah,
I mean, anything that like actually popped up, she's recorded with her eyes. That's a very different kind.
All right, so we'll just assume that whatever you've sort of perused at this point, unless you want to spend hours here, that's
no,
pretty much what you're getting right now.
Pack up. I'm gonna go by the security guard. Act like you're really annoyed, and then Dean Dare just slips out of the room, into the break room. Is the security guard still asleep?
He sure is.
I take the badge and I toss it at his face.
He just sort of swats at it and it lands on the floor. And he's still sleeping.
What was his name on his badge?
His name is George Avila.
Mr. Avila.
What? Oh. He sort of jumps up, gives up. Who are you? Wait, what's going on here?
I'm seeing Calmay, with Auburn Securities, and she like pulls at her shirt a little bit.
Oh, brag. Hey, it's I'm off shift at this point.
You're off shift? Well,
yeah, my shift's done.
Go home.
I was going. I just needed some. I just wanted to catch a couple of Z's before I get out of here.
Okay.
Everything's cool.
Can you explain to me how I was able to pull your ID off of you and walk out of the room with it?
Well, I was asleep.
Mm-hmm. Asleep with your
doorway, and is like perking its ears up and looking right at the guy, like in the fucking eyes.
He looks, glances down at you, says, "Ah, jeez, is that a hellhound?"
It's not. And then I'll give the spirit will signal to Nightingale to kind of like come here.
And lucky for you, would have ripped your throat out.
He picks up his badge and says, "I'm leaving now.
Have a nice day."
That thing gives me the creeps, and he leaves.
It makes a point of giving him eye contact while he walks around, like walks away, just fucking boring him in the face.
All right, so he leaves. The Watcher spirit leaves with him. And where are you guys going? There's a hallway with a door at the end, and then there are a couple of other doors further down.
I mean, I think we should still finish our little sweep through, and then we go upstairs to the administrative offices.
Okay, so as you go, you may continue your sweep. You find mechanical systems room, water heaters, HVAC stuff. There's nobody in the room. You find another room that opens for your security badge, which seems to be an armory. There's riot armor and helmets and shields and stun batons. gas grenades, smoke grenades, flashbangs, grenade launchers to launch those devices with, and narc eject pistols that are loaded with tranquilizers and sidearms and shotguns and ammunition to go with them. Most of the ammunition, it's about a 50-50 split between stick and shock and gel rounds.
Is it all secured properly?
Yeah, more or less. Give me a roll. Give me a security company's roll.
Security sec company's roll.
Both of us or
one?
Yeah. If you have a two boxer.
Is that a glitch? At, three ones and one success?
Oh, that's. I think that's a critical glitch.
No, it's a glitch because you have one success. If you had no successes, it would be.
Ah, okay.
But I think it's actually more than. No, that is more than.
It's all right.
So. To Diandir, you know, as she's glancing around, she's actually thinking, huh, surprisingly, these guys have it, have done a pretty good job in here. Whereas Boxer's looking around going, man, that, they've got those grenades lying around sort of weird. Those fuses make contact with each other. They're going to have a whole room full of CS gas.
Sloppy, sloppy, by God, sloppy.
Wait. Wait, that sounds like a trap.
The grenades?
I need to move these or they're going to fucking kill themselves. And she, like, grabs some of the grenades and just sticks them somewhere else.
Yeah, so Boxer starts rearranging grenades. Diandir's admiring the handiwork. And Grace is standing there wondering what the heck they're doing.
I may have to ask what they're doing. Yeah, I'm just gonna do that. I'm just gonna be like, hey, what are y'all doing?
They are so unimaginably sloppy.
And then what is Diandir doing?
Diandir's writing in her little notepad.
Diandir's writing, well done.
Good job, me. I love me.
Alright, so those were the remaining doors on this floor. So you have the option of going back out and taking either the elevator or the stairs up, or going through down the hallway and through the door that said security or authorized personnel only.
Didn't we go through the authorized personnel door? Or
no, that's down at the end of a hallway. It looks like it's actually leading you out. Going to lead you out of this building into the warehouse.
Let's go upstairs first.
All right, you go upstairs. I imagine you just take the elevator.
Actually, Dean did take the stairs.
All right, you take the stairs up, and the second floor is a large space full of cubicles, and along the wall is a set of offices. There are a couple of people in the cubicles, mostly humans that you can see. There are one or two elves and a dwarf, and all of them look like they are jacked in some way or another, either in full VR or AR. And the offices themselves look like they're unoccupied.
I guess they don't have any, like, physical screens.
They don't have any physical screens open, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually thought it might be you thought it a little archaic that they even had a physical screen down in the server room, but...
Diandra is going to do something a little weird. She's going to, like... go person by person, kind of like hovering around them. Is there a security guard in this room?
No.
And you said there are people that look like they're in AR being.
There are a couple that are in AR. Probably about of the six people there, four of them are in full VR and two of them are in AR. One of them's a dwarf and one of them's an elf. So the humans are all in full VR.
How attentive to us are the dwarf and the elf?
They sort of glance up as you enter and then pay you no more mind.
Diandir is going to walk up to some of the people that are in full dive and give their eyes a spray with the screen capture.
I think they would notice.
Wow. One, would that even work?
Yes, it explicitly states that it works with...
That sounds intensely terrible. My God.
I think they would notice, and I think full VR, not it wouldn't necessarily be through their eyes. It's like if they're jacked in, it's all internal to their brain.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they are going to have some AR, and you know, you will have harvest some data off them.
I don't think they would not notice that.
Yeah.
Even in full VR.
I will say that even if they don't notice, I feel like whoever's watching the cams would take offense on their behalf.
That's a good point, too.
I think she's just going to pull out, like, a water spray and give the first guy in line a...
You're going to do what to him?
I'm going to pull out like a spray bottle that's similar to my screen capture spray, and I'm going to give him a spritz, like one.
All right, let's see. I can't say that I'm fully versed on how. I don't know. Now that I think about it, I feel like when you're in full VR, you're pretty much not. No, you're still feeling your body.
You were like dead to the world.
If you want to perceive something in while you're in VR, you have to make a very difficult perception test. Like the dice pool penalty is real bad.
Like how bad?
I think it's like -4 or -6.
To perceive, but I'm wondering. I think you're still to some extent aware of your body.
Do you really like it? Again, I can tell you what the rules are for like. Perceiving, but
all right. Well, let's make a perception. Well, -4. Yeah, I guess we'll make a perception check.
So those initials are their real name.
Yep.
Yeah, I was staring at it, and I was like,
I figured that out when Jim Ansel's was GVG for George Van Housen.
Yeah.
All right. So you spritz the guy, and for a second, nothing happens, and all of a sudden, you see him sort of. Shake his head and his eyes focus on you, and he says, "Frag, what the frag are you doing? Who are you?"
I'm Sean Calme with what is it, Auburn Securities. One of you should be fully out of VR security regulation, right?
He wipes his face. How the hell am I supposed to know?
Well,
I'm not with security. I'm just an accountant.
Do you know who the security officer on duty today is?
Yeah. They're down in the... They're over in the security building.
No, but you should have one in the office, too, here.
Oh, there's never any secure... Well, sometimes there's security here. He points over at one of the offices and says, that's the head of security's office, but he's not here yet.
So you guys don't have any security in this building besides that of security? No 24-hour security?
We got the cameras, and I mean, they patrol through here.
The android, like, after like, making her little sound, she goes back to typing on her.
Now, frag off. I mean, I got work to do. God, rude. And you see him flip back into VR, or, yeah.
If it needs to be said, Deander is a little caught up in her role, I guess. She turns to Boxer and goes, I guess we should sweep the, do a sweep of the warehouse quickly and head out.
Yeah, and I want to make a point of looking inside of the containers that had the I can't remember the organization name.
Agura Freight.
Agura Freight affiliation.
And depending on their label, we should be able to find out what's inside.
The Agura Freight, you know, the Agura Freight company pays for the high security storage, which is not the standard warehouse. It's the part of the warehouse that was inside of the prison facility.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're probably just going to do a quick walk through the warehouse and then head to do a walk through the prison sector, prison area.
All right. You go back down and through the hallway and go into the warehouse. The warehouse is a long open metal building. There are stacks and stacks of shipping containers. There are several drone forklifts moving around, picking containers off of the loading dock and stacking them or unstacking them and taking them out to the loading dock to be refreighted onto the cargo trucks outside. You don't see any actual people here. It looks like everything's operated by these drone forklifts were your memory serves you that these were had the prisoners are jacked into these as riggers.
Rigger piloted. I imagine Dinder would still want to do like a walk of this area. Just quick go through.
Yep, quick walk through. Grace, you see that you've picked up another Watcher Spirit that's tagging along with you. And the cameras, both Boxer and Dinder, you see the cameras tracking you through the warehouse. Yeah, like I said, there are a ton of containers, probably 100 or so, stacked up to the ceiling.
Looking at that Watcher Spirit, do I know who its master is? Can I like try to discern that by looking at it, or is that not possible?
I don't know if you could discern that by looking at it unless you were able to recognize the signature of the summoner, but that's actually more of a spell. So I'm not sure if you would be able to or not. Probably not. Like, if you were looking at a spell, you could see. Though,
because aren't they, like, made by the caster as opposed to coming from somewhere else? I don't know. I don't know what the rules are for that. That's all.
But you would have to be familiar with the summoner.
Which I'm not. And I don't know if I'm going to see them at any point. Probably not. Actually, no. It'd probably be one of the magically active security guards.
Probably. Seems highly likely. All right. So you've done your sweep through the standard warehouse. The only other exits or entrances out of the standard warehouse are the door that you guys came in from the administrative building. There is a door to the outside parking lot where you guys came in. And then there's obviously the big cargo doors where the forklifts are coming in and out.
I don't think there's much information we can get here. Unless
you want to dig into it. How long has it been since our
first run? It has been a couple of days, about a week at this point.
You know what? One of you should like totally pick up my body so that I can go into Astral and like go zooping around, or like find me a corner to sit in so that I can look through the crates to find something of interest.
Didn't we decide that all of the crates that we're actually interested in will be in the high security sector?
Is the high security sector upstairs?
Yes.
That's not true, because I found them downstairs last time we were here.
Well, sure. At least and
if I'm recalling correctly.
Picks up the dog.
Grace, as you're perceiving in the astral, you see another spirit starting to not materialize, but is manifesting in the astral in this space watching you. This is not a watcher spirit.
Was it summoned here?
It does appear as if it was it was not summoned here. It might be a bound spirit.
I'm going to decouple from my body. What's the Dinder has the dog in her arms, and
the dog just sort of slumps in Dinder's arms,
maintaining the spell, of course. Could I try and sense it to tell what kind of spirit it is?
Yep, absolutely.
That would be 4 die, since I'm currently maintaining the spell on my body.
And from 4 dice, you got 1 hit.
I don't think I'd be able to actually tell what exactly it is. Is it obvious by looking at it? Does it like look like fire?
It's not a. It's a spirit of. You guess it's a spirit of air, and not a very potent one, though you can't really tell that. At the moment, it's only in the astral, and you don't see. It's not making any moves against you, or not really doing anything aside from just sort of appearing there.
I've spoken to spirits before, but if they're bound, can you speak to them? Or are they kind of like by nature unable to act outside of their master's will when they're bound?
No, I would say that you can speak to them. Unless their master's told them not to speak to anybody or to you in particular.
But that'd use up one of their instructions, so nobody would ever do that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously there's something magically going on. I should probably just ask it, like, be like, hey, home slice, what's up? But like, say that in astral terms. Hey, fellow extraplanar, what are you doing? What's going on? I just noticed you.
It looks at you and, rolls some dice and it says, I am a guardian of this place.
Mm-hmm. Well, good news for you. We are here to help this place. She smiles. And she's like starting to bounce up and down, like floating above the room in front of the presumed spirit of air.
It says to you, I am unsure of your motivations. However, I have not been instructed to intervene in any way, shape, or form at this time. Therefore, your intentions are of no relevance to me.
Who's your master?
My master is a puny little mage whose current body exists. He gestures in the direction of the prison.
Mm. Oh, are they a guard or an inmate?
I do not understand this question.
So are they kept here or can they leave?
It seems to ponder for a minute and then says, they can all leave. However, some leave more frequently than others.
In which group does your master belong to?
My master comes and goes as he chooses from this place. Mm-hmm. Although he too is bound by it, bound to it, in my opinion.
I see. Alrighty. Thank you for the talk. I have some helping to do, she says. And then she promptly like jaunts off and gives it a little wave. To now go look through all of the crates to see if she can find anything like she saw originally, which was like a crate glowing with magical energy.
Yep. So you zip around. You don't find most of the contents of the crates and shipping containers is, from an astral standpoint, inert and pretty unremarkable. There are some containers that contain materials that you judge to be potentially either food items or other natural items, potentially wood or something of that nature that is a little bit more visible in the astral. You do find, I guess, make an astral perception test, please.
Oh. You mean a sensing or perception?
A sensing. Perception. Where is that? Okay, I got your sheet open.
That would be 4 die also.
Okay. From 4 die, you got 2 hits. You do see at least one container that has some kind of biomass in it. You think it looks like body parts?
Would I be able to just literally stick my head through the crate to look?
Yeah. It depends on how full it is. You might be sticking your face right into them.
Well, I mean,
I guess you couldn't do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to clip it, so to speak.
Yeah, there's biomass here. Some of it seems to be discrete parts that even in the astral has enough essence to it, I guess you would say, to let you recognize that there are parts of metahumans in this container.
Oh, that is not good. I'm going to immediately go back to my body and tell the party about this and, like, guide them over to it.
What does the label on the crate say?
It says, Nakatomi Shipping.
Nakatomi Shipping? Is there, like, a list of what's supposed to be in the crate?
No, there's a number. The crate has an ID number on it, and the emblem of the company, and that's it. It also has a security seal on the front of it. Actually, it does. There is a panel on the container that has a color code on it that you've seen on shipping containers before. But whether or not you're able to recognize what the color code means in this case, unless you have a specific knowledge skill, I don't think so. Unless you went and did a matrix search for it.
I don't think I'd have any knowledge for it. Would Boxer have any knowledge that would fit for this color coding?
No.
We just looked at some of the shipping manifests, right?
You don't have manifests, because manifests would tell you what's in them, but you do have schedules and contracts of who's shipping what and when it's getting delivered and or picked up.
Would that, in quotes, manifest, like, what the label, color label is for in it? I'm trying to finagle my way to rolling.
Yeah, I guess so. You find that the manifest for this particular, well, I guess you're going to have to, you'd have to go into the data that Boxer pulled and do a data search on it.
I'd ask Boxer to do that because it's on their comm link. Or, I don't want to sit here and scrub through footage, but it came up on the screen, so the it's on my comm link.
Yeah, I guess you guys can do this in you know,
record time.
Time at all. And you find the container code aligns with a particular container shipping, and it the color code basically correlates to biohazard.
Now, how to get hard data that they're shipping metahuman parts?
Why don't you guys all make a logic test?
Just straight up logic?
Just straight logic.
I'd only be rolling one die. Me.
You got a hit. You got a hit on one die. Deander got a hit. Brain. Boxer got a hit. It's not necessarily illegal to ship biohazard or bio waste. This could be BioWare. This could be medical waste.
If it was BioWare, it would be packaged, right? Is it just packaged, or is it like?
Well, you don't know. You'd have to open the container to find out.
Well,
Boxer's Nightingale's been into the container in the astral.
But she can see things that are non-living, at least not if, like, they haven't been handled by a person or animal.
The only thing that Grace would have noticed going in is that they're not just, it's not just dumped on the floor kind of thing. It's not just a random jumble of body parts. They were stacked rather neatly and coherently in the container.
I bet this is BioWare.
Or organs.
One of the two. Not necessarily illegal.
Not necessarily, but it is worthwhile info, I suppose. It could be illegal ordering trading. I wouldn't put it past the kind of people to use Warehouse Alliance, but it could be legal. Grace, you...
Well, actually, now that I think about it, if it's just metahuman organs, they would be very obviously dead if they weren't meant to be transported like this. I don't know if they were iced, but... Even then, how long? When is this package meant to leave?
It's going to be leaving fairly soon.
I feel like it's likely it's BioWare, but that's not our strongest thread. We should probably check upstairs, or I should check upstairs, to see if I can find something that is more incriminating.
Just keep track of your body. Just stay here. Just keep safe.
We should probably not stand around in the same place for too long.
Don't go too far with my shoes. Just, you know, carry... I mean, you could put me up in a cubbyhole and I could come back to it. I reckon.
If you know where we are with your body, are you able to come back to it easily? Like, if we take a predetermined path?
She has sense of direction, so if she knows, like, where you're going to end up, all she would have to do is go there and then go to where she's going in the astral. And then she can just rendezvous with y'all in the astral whenever you get where you're going. I think it's kind of fucking hilarious to be carrying around the dog in your arms!
He's tired. She's tired.
You're very aware that the...
Deander just has Nightingale, like, tucked under one arm. Like,
just to be clear, you can very clearly tell that that is not... Like, you may not even see the illusion, actually. Like, once you touch her, the illusion unravels for you, and you realize, oh, that's her. There wasn't a dog there. It may even give you, like, a slight headache staring at it, because it's kind of weird visually.
Dog, not dog.
Dog, not dog. Dog is
horse. You see Grace in one eye, and then you see the dog in the other.
I wonder if being touched by someone who's anti-magic would, like, mess up a magical creature, but...
It's more like she's defensive, less that she's like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
She has a resistance to it, but that doesn't, like, she has an immunity to something, but that doesn't mean that just Well, actually, an immunity does kind of damage the thing it's immune to. Okay, I think a better comparison is an immunity to something abiotic that people aren't typically immune to. The immunity there means it can just pass through you without affecting you, but you don't necessarily damage the thing that's passing through that would otherwise be a poison.
Immunity to iocane powder.
What's iocane?
No!
Is this what I think it is?
What?
One of those, like, you know, the jokes that teen boys make.
No.
They're referenced to the movie Princess Bride.
I'm referencing the Princess Bride.
I don't get it.
That's your homework. Go watch the Princess Bride.
Hey, wait, that movie? That one's like a cult classic.
Yeah.
Wait, you haven't seen it?
No.
You go watch it.
Kids these days. What is this world coming to?
You're one to talk, what? Paul. You haven't even seen Bill and Ted.
Paul, you haven't seen Bill and Ted?
Anyway, we're playing Shadowrun.
We are playing Shadowrun.